From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of the Let the Bible Speak radio ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
The text for today is found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ." The believer did not always live to Christ. He began to do so when God the Holy Spirit convinced him of sin, and when by grace he was brought to see the dying Savior making a propitiation for his guilt. From the moment of the new and celestial birth, the man begins to live to Christ. Jesus is to believers the one pearl of great price, for whom we are willing to part with all that we have. He has so completely won our love that it beats alone for Him. To His glory we would live, and in defense of His gospel we would die. He is the pattern of our life, and the model after which we would sculpture our character. Paul's words mean more than most men think. They imply that the aim and end of his life was Christ, nay, his life itself was Jesus. In the words of an ancient saint, "He did eat and drink and sleep eternal life." Jesus was his very breath, the soul of his soul, the heart of his heart, the life of his life. Can you say, as a professing Christian, that you live up to this idea? Can you honestly say that for you to live is Christ? Your business, are you doing it for Christ? Is it not done for self-aggrandizement and for family advantage? Do you ask, is that a mean reason? For the Christian it is. He professes to live for Christ. How can he live for another object without committing a spiritual adultery? Many there are who carry out this principle in some measure. But who is there that dare say that he hath lived wholly for Christ, as the apostle did? Yet this alone is the true life of a Christian, its source, its sustenance, its fashion, its end, all gathered up in one word, Christ Jesus. Lord, accept me. I here present myself, praying to live only in Thee and to Thee. Let me be as the bullock which stands between the plow and the altar, to work or to be sacrificed, and let my motto be, ready for either.
Master, thou callest, I gladly obey. Only direct me, and I'll find thy way. Teach me the mission appointed for me. What is my labor and where it shall be? Master, thou callest, and this I reply. Ready and willing, Lord, here am I.
Savior, to take on
up the cross,
willing to suffer reproaches and loss,
willing to follow if thou wilt but lead. Only support me with grace in my need. Master, thou callest, and this I reply, ready and willing, Lord, here am I.
Living or dying, I still would be
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Dr. Cairns proceeds with his study of the book of Romans, he brings the next portion of a message called The Old Man Crucified and the Body of Sin Destroyed. The text is found in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 6, in which Paul continues his discussion of the believer's union with Christ. He wrote, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." There is much confusion over the meaning of some of the terms Paul uses in the passage. Some argue that the old man is still an active principle in the believer's life. But as Dr. Cairns has been showing, the old man is what the believer was in Adam.
The Apostle Paul says that the old man has been put to death in Christ's crucifixion. His own testimony is in Galatians 2, verse 20, where he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Now Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of this message, "The Old Man Crucified and the Body of Sin Destroyed."
There is a rule of interpretation in Scripture that you always interpret either the difficult by the simply stated, or the secondary by the primary. And this is the primary reference to the old man. This is the primary theological reference to the old man in the New Testament. And it says, he died. He was crucified. But when you look at these two texts in Ephesians and Colossians, you find that they don't in any way contradict what I have said in Romans 6. In fact, they strongly support it. Let's come to Colossians 3, verse 9 for a start. It says, remember, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." If I could give you a rougher literal rendering, it says, "Lie not one to another, having put off." The idea in the verb is having put off completely from yourselves the old man with his deeds. I don't want to bore you with technicalities, but both these texts show you the minuteness of biblical inspiration. And they will show you with what care the apostle chose even the tense of the verb in which he was expressing his thought. Because this verb, or this participle, "having put off from yourselves," is so framed that it conveys for us an action that not only began in the past, but was completed in the past. And isn't that exactly what Paul's saying in Romans 6? The old man died. To change the wording slightly in Colossians 3, Paul said, once and for all, he was put away. Why? Because he was crucified. And therefore his argument is, your old man died. And that truth must control your conduct. So don't be liars one to another. It's interesting when you go to Colossians chapter 3 and just contrast in verse 8 what Paul says. He says, "But now ye also put off all these." That's an imperative. This is something you're told now to do. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth, and do not lie one to another. Why? Because you have in the past, by faith in Jesus Christ, once and for all, put off the old man. The old man was crucified. Colossians 3 doesn't change what Paul says in Romans 6, and it supports it, as you would expect. We turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and we find that the very same thing holds true. Let's read the whole section, chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. "You have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Now, a first glance at that in the English translation would lead you to believe that there are three commands: put off the former conversation, or concerning the former conversation, the old man. Put off the old man. Secondly, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And thirdly, put on the new man. You would think those were three distinct commands. But that is not so. Follow carefully. Paul says, if you know the truth as it is in Jesus, Now, what is the truth that is in Jesus? Paul spells it out carefully in the words that follow. And again, pay attention to how he uses the tenses of the verbs. This is the truth that you, and I will give you this twice so that I may interpolate a little and explain. First, it is that you utterly put off the old man and put on the new. Both actions begun and completed in the past. And that therefore you are now being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now let me go back over that. It is that you have utterly, once and for all, put off the old man. And you have once and for all put on the new man. That's what he's saying. This is exactly what he is teaching already in Romans chapter 6. The old man was crucified. That's when the new man came into existence. And those are once and for all occurrences. Now the result is that you are being renewed. That's an ongoing experience in the spirit of your mind. So, what then is the old man? Well, the clue is that the old man no longer lives. He no longer exists in a believer. This is a one-time, irreversible act of the grace of God that denotes a fundamental change in the status of a person from death and condemnation to life and acceptance with God. And that's what points us in the right direction. I haven't done this too much in recent years. I will get back to it when I have enough time. But for years I loved to read Conan Doyle's Sherlock Holmes stories. I know that people of finer literary taste have mocked the great Sherlock Holmes. Another writer, English writer, whom I don't usually like to quote for various reasons, he said Sherlock Holmes really wasn't a character at all. It was just a revelation of some new miraculous power that he possessed. And I suppose that's true, but Conan Doyle had him say one thing. When he was talking to Dr. Watson one day, he said, when you have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable to you, that's the solution. That's simple logic, is it not? We have dealt with the impossible. Now then, what's the solution? Remember, and I know this sounds so inane and it doesn't need to be said, but we do need to be reminded of it. Remember that when the Bible was written, it didn't have chapters. You didn't have a break between 5:21 and 6:1. This was just continuous. So when you'd have got this at the beginning, you'd have been reading right through it. And so what we divorce, because there's a chapter space between, what we divorce, the initial, the early readers would simply have kept together. And looking at this, what is this old man? They would have been still thinking of the verse that controls everything in this section. Remember, the verse that controls everything is Romans 5 and verse 12, where we're told, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men because all sinned. That's what Paul wrote. Death passed upon all men because in Adam all sinned. Now, I'm not going to go over the exposition of Romans 5 again. But something happened in Adam. What did God say to him? In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We died in Adam. What is the old man? The old man is what I was in Adam. That's the old man. It's interesting, the word that's used for old. There are two words available. You'll remember words like archaeology. Beginning of those is just a Greek term that means old. Comes from the word that means the beginning. And it's interesting that that's not the word that's used here. And I like that. For the simple reason, you see, that the old man does not go back all the way to the beginning. When God created Adam, He created him sinless, spotless, pure and holy. And we in Adam, that's how we were created. But in Adam we fell, and the old man is the old man that gets all the way from Adam's fall, that partakes of Adam's guilt, that comes under Adam's condemnation, that is dead toward God. This is the old man, and it carries with it the idea of an old man, therefore, that's worn out. Man, what a description of the old man. That's what I was in Adam. You find in verse 14 and 17 of Romans 5, death reigned. In verse 21, sin reigned unto death. That's our person and our position in Adam. In him we sinned, in him we died unto God. But listen, that was all changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the old man identified. What is my old man? It's not some old nature. My old man is what I was legally in the sight of God in Adam. That's him identified. That enables me to be fairly brief with the next one. And that is the old man crucified. Now here's the good news. That the old man, my being in Adam, was once and for all slain with Jesus Christ on the cross. Now think of this. Not only did the Lord Jesus Christ suffer the penalty of our sin, which is a wonderful truth, but since He and His people are one and indivisible in the covenant of grace, our old man suffered the full penalty of his sin, his own sin, once and for all. Not that we actually did the suffering. We covered this last week. We didn't have to do the suffering. We were planted in the likeness of his death. We were implanted with him in the likeness of his death. This was a purely, the word is, forensic act of God. Without us contributing a thing, paying anything of the price, nevertheless, to the law and to its penalty, to sin and to its reign and its tyranny, the old man was once and forever put to death, never to be raised again. Now, it's very vital for us to realize this, and it's equally vital for all of us who are saved to stop believing that we are called of God to do what the Scripture says is impossible. Those who make the old man mean the flesh, the carnal nature, put believers under a binding guilt. Maybe you've felt this. You see, if God says to you, and emphasize the if, because he doesn't, but if God says to you, put your old man to death, what is he asking you to do? What is he asking you to do? If the old man means the flesh, he's telling you, eradicate the flesh. And you see, that's what so many Christians are in such a bind about, because they're going through their life, they've been having all this holiness stuff put at them. And I say holiness stuff to cover a lot of stuff that I dealt with in the last couple of weeks. They've all this coming at them from all angles, and they feel, I have got to be able to eradicate the flesh. I shouldn't feel this way. I shouldn't feel this stirring. And if I'm feeling this way, if I'm reacting, I'm not a corpse. I've been told I should be a corpse to sin. You can prod a corpse, curse a corpse, burn a corpse. You can do anything with a corpse that doesn't react. But I react. Therefore, I'm living in disobedience to God. The trouble with that is, you see, not only is it unscriptural, but it targets the most sincere and the most vulnerable of God's people. And I have seen Christians of the most sincere kind and have just been reduced to lives of guilty failure. And they haven't been failures at all, except in this. They're trying to do what the Bible never commands you to do. The Bible says your old man was crucified. It doesn't ever, ever, ever tell you to crucify the old man. It doesn't do it. There's no command in the New Testament for you to crucify the old man. There's a wonderful revelation that said God crucified the old man with Christ at Calvary.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.